Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Spencer Retail Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhil Parekh from Batlivala & Karani Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Shubham. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome you all for 1Q26 Spencer Retail call. We have the entire management team of Spencer, including Mr. Anuj Singh, CEO, Mr. Sandeep Banka, CFO, Mr. Pankaj Kedia. Without taking much time, I would hand over the call to Anuj sir for his opening remarks, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q1 FY26 results call for Spencer Retail. Thank you for joining us. I'll start by giving a brief commentary, and then, as said, we'll open it up for questions. So if you look at quarter one, you know, it was a mixed bag with, I would say, moderate Q-on-Q growth, 1% at a consolidated level, and I'm giving you the consolidated numbers first, and then I'll dive into each of the components of the three formats. So at a consolidated level, top-line growth, 1% Q-on-Q. The Y-on-Y comparison might not be like, is not like-to-like, since in quarter one of FY25, we were operating on a much larger footprint in Spencer's. So there was, as you recollect, an exit from two regions and a closure of 47 stores in Q2. If you look at the margin, there was a good margin recovery on both formats in quarter one. We continued tight controls on all our operating expenses and costs, and that resulted in a 119 basis point improvement in our EBITDA. So quarter-on-quarter, if you look at it, quarter four, we were break-even at a consolidated level, and in quarter one, we reported 5 crores. At a PBT level, this is a slight reduction versus last quarter. We were at 62 crores PBT loss versus 68 crores in quarter four. Now, if I look at, you know, this is at the consolidated level, so if I break it up into the three parts, which is the Spencer's offline part, the online, which is our GT online proposition, and MB, I think that'll give some more color in terms of where we are moving. So on Spencer's, the offline, again, in the continuing regions was flat. We had some supply issues given, plus some discretionary, you know, pricing on staples. So as you all know, pulses and a few other staples were, you know, they were in a deflationary trend and significant deflation in pulses. So on even slightly higher volumes, our ASPs, average selling prices, were down. We had a softer FMCG part of it, but however, the margins came in at a strong 19.1%, you know, despite a mix which is now becoming a little smaller on apparel and GM for us because we've kind of, you know, toned that now. The operating expenses for Spencer's were, again, have been brought down dramatically from last year level. Even compared to the previous quarter, we were at 60 crores, whereas the previous quarter was 62. The financial EBITDA for Spencer's was 15 crores for the quarter, which is compared to, if you compare it to quarter four, you know, which was 10 crores, so there's an improvement versus quarter four. And of course, you know, if you look at it versus quarter one of last year, the EBITDA was 8 crores, so almost a 2x jump. So Spencer's clearly, again, continued story on efficiency-led EBITDA improvement, with still some room to figure out the growth levers. As far as the online part of Spencer's is concerned, this is an area where we've been investing, and we've been making good progress. So there was almost a 20% sales growth in quarter one over last year quarter. This was on the back of, obviously, user growth. So, you know, we've crossed the 100,000+ monthly average users, which is an 80% Y-on-Y growth. Our order numbers have also gone up, so there's a total quantum of orders is about a 41% growth. We're doing, if any of you recollect the previous one, we're doing an An average for the quarter, we're doing about 6,500 orders per day. We believe, again, there is headroom for us quickly to take this up to 10,000. That was the stated aspiration. By September, we would be at that level. We built up, our AOVs continue to be 700+, which is significantly better than the quick commerce peers. Of course, our model is a bit different. We have built up the capabilities to do fulfillment in a large number of our store footprint. In quarter one, we moved from about 40 stores in the previous quarter, where we used to do fulfillment, to about 56 stores, which is across Kolkata, upcountry, West Bengal, Lucknow, Banaras, and Gorakhpur. I think all that set up, which is, while it's not dark stores, but even within the stores, one needs to have a little bit of a setup when it comes to dedicated pickers, hub managers, et cetera. All that investment, infrastructure, and people have been in place, which should help us to kind of drive those numbers towards 10,000. In quarter one, we achieved about 6,500 orders per day. Our service levels are improving month-on-month. Our in-full is at 90%+, which is, I would say, the threshold in a quick commerce business. Our on-time delivery, we are at 80%+. Our average time is 30 minutes, 31 minutes. Again, we never wanted to be a 10-minute delivery player, but we wanted to be within 30 minutes. We're getting there. We're 31 minutes, and I think from what our consumer feedback we get, people are quite happy with the 31 minutes. I think the metrics which we are getting feedback, which needs to be sustained, is consistency and in-full. People don't mind waiting three, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, as long as they get a 90%+ in-full rate and they get it consistently. That's a bit of color on the online business. When it comes to Nature's Basket, if you look at it sequentially quarter-on-quarter, revenues were 69 crores this quarter versus 61 crores in the previous quarter, and 72 crores in the last year same quarter. Sequential quarter-on-quarter growth, margins have come back, recovery in margins and on MB as well, 28.2% versus 25% in quarter four and 27.5% in quarter one. The operating expenses are in line, and therefore the EBITDA is, I would say, a nominal 1 crore versus close to minus 5 crores in quarter four. Last year Q1 was not a comparative because there was a one-off income which was on account of trademark, the Gift Studio trademark assignment which was done. I think that income was there. So an improvement in EBITDA as far as Nature's Basket is concerned. For Nature's Basket, they relaunched two stores, one in Inorbit Mall, Malad, and the other in Oberoi, Goregaon. Two high loss-making stores were shut down, one in Defence Colony in Delhi and the other in Linking Road, Krishna Curve. They've also relaunched the app for Nature's Basket and with an express delivery proposition in June. Again, it's not time-bound, it's not quick delivery, but it's express delivery. And the idea is to offer the same gourmet selection, but offer an element of convenience and delivery. This has been relaunched in June and will form a big part of the growth for the rest of the year. They continue to make good progress on the Elysium membership, which is a program designed to get repeat purchase, high level of loyalty, and get a certain minimum threshold of average monthly spend. So they've crossed 5,000 members in 6 months. I think that's the progress on Nature's Basket. If one therefore would look at it, I think, again, I would say this has largely been an efficiency-led EBITDA quarter delivery. And I think we have now completed all the optimization initiatives which we undertook since, I would say, quarter three of last year. We are seeing a full flow through of all of these in terms of operating expenses. And I think now is the time for us where we are switching and I would say flipping the gears to move from efficiency-led EBITDA to a top-line growth-led EBITDA improvement. And this top-line growth has to come across both Nature's Basket and Spencer's. both in the offline and the online parts of the respective businesses. And that will see that'll directly flow into what I would call a consistent and a bigger EBITDA improvement. I think the cost and the efficiency led part is done. It doesn't mean that we get complacent and let costs creep back, because that's the easiest thing to do. But I think now the focus and the gears have to shift towards driving top line growth. We have all the levers available, and we have the playbook to drive this. Quarter two is going to be a critical quarter for us. We do have the tailwinds of festive quarter already in Q2 in West Bengal, since Pujo will be in September end. In addition to that, for Spencer's, we've launched a membership program in July. And again, the whole premise of the membership program was to get to increase, number one, your M1 retention, which is month on month what percentage of your consumers are coming back and shopping, and increase that. In a grocery business, that should be at least 80% plus. We are not at that level. So the idea of this membership program is to build some kind of an incentive for people to come back and shop regularly. And the other big objective is to see if this membership program, the fact that people are coming back month on month, also gives them some incentive to kind of increase or sustain a higher level of average monthly spend. This membership program is there is a nominal charge of 500 rupees a year, there are three tiers at which you get your cash back. Currently, we've not done it on points. We've done it on a certain amount of cash which gets loaded into their wallet. It starts with at a level of 3,300 rupees of monthly spends, whether it is on the stores offline or it's on online. It's a consolidated view of what a customer spends with us in a month. It's a 3% discount at that level. At 5,000 rupees a month, monthly spend is 4%, which translates into 200 bucks. And at reaching 10,000 of monthly spend, it's a 6% incentive, which is 600 bucks. The numbers might not sound significant, saying 100, 200, 600, but looking at 3%, 4%, and 6% off on grocery, over and above the promotional prices which run in the stores, we believe is a strong incentive for people to sign up and to use this to keep coming back to the stores. Early days, but in July itself, where we launched the program, today is the 31st of July, we've got 22,000 plus members who have paid and signed up for this. We will see results of this, obviously flowing through. It's not just the first month sign up, but I think the real benefit comes in the following month, where people come back and then shop. So we'll track this very closely to see how many of these 23,000 people shop, what frequency do they shop, what categories do they shop. And now, there's a complete, I would say, customer data enrichment. Earlier, it was just a telephone number, which we had of a few people. But now for these 23,000 people, we will have a closer one, which should then be used to do focused CRM effort. So I think membership program will be an important one. The festive quarter preparations are on now with, the festive quarter starts off with next weekend, which is the Rakhi weekend, moves into Independence Day, and then in September you have the build-up for Durga Pujo in West Bengal. So with a combination of the membership program, the festive push which we're seeing, and the online continuing, thing on online, we do see quarter two being a top-line driven growth quarter. Similar plans are there for Nature's Basket and, both for their offline and online business. In addition, we're also doing, an optimization exercise in terms of our supply chain, where we are looking at our inventory. The end objective is to work with a tighter, inventory, bring down our days on hand, and really focus on, your bestseller effectiveness. And I think that's an effort which we're doing. But again, that's an efficiency-led one, but the focus will be in terms of seeing how we'll drive growth. So I think that's a brief, kind of commentary on how quarter one was and what the plans for quarter two and rest of the year are. And like I said, going forward, gears are being switched to see how we can drive top line growth, so that then there is a sustained and I would say quantum increase in EBITDA, which is going to go through because the cost and the efficiency optimization is already in play. Yeah, I'll stop with that and then open it up for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dipali Kumari from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Like, have you started to see any early sign of recovery in demand in July or Q2 so far? Are there any specific category or customer segments in more resilience?
Sorry,
hello?
Your question. Yeah, so you were not very clear. So I just heard the is there any evidence of, if you could just repeat your question.
Yeah, like, have you started to see any early sign of recovery in demand in July or Q2 so far? Any specific category?
Yeah, so I think, in July, definitely, like I said, Q2 for us, we are starting off on a slightly stronger note. Our traditional categories where we build momentum is on staples, is on FMCG. And on the fresh part of the business, we are a food and food category-led grocery retailer. So we've seen a build-up there. But I would say that the larger part of your Q2 momentum will come starting in August and September. I mentioned August is this is the start of the festive season with Rakhi. And July was also a bit impacted by, while it's localized to West Bengal. We were impacted with the higher monsoons, which does lead to a little bit of not just footfall drop, but certain categories which are pretty high on summer, things like carbonated soft drinks, etc., was slower than expected. So I think the early and the heavy onset of monsoons in July has impacted a few categories, largely carbonated, and you see that in the also in the results and the numbers which are coming in for some of these CSD players as well. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, on the new store at Oberoi and Environment seems to represent like a refreshed format. So, are you seeing better unit economics in this location compared to older stores?
Yeah. So, both these stores were, these are not newer in that sense. I mean, both of them were existing locations. In one location, we moved to another location within the mall, and the other we kind of made it into a slightly more compressed store with a renovation. Early days, it's just been 1 month, but the results in both stores have been encouraging. We've seen a higher level of SPSF coming from that. But again, I'll wait for a couple of months to be able to pronounce that as a trend, because typically in the first 2 months of opening, of reopening of a store, you see higher numbers. But the numbers are higher than what it is. It was earlier there. You're referring to the nature of we are opening. We are committed to opening stores as far as Spencer's is concerned in the existing clusters. So in quarter one, we added one store in Calcutta. In a suburban area of Calcutta, and it's a 6,000 square feet store in an area which is not a mall or a high street location, but concentrated in a residential area with lots of multi-storied apartments, condos across it. And I must say, in the first 2 months, the store has done quite well. It is showing confidence that there is enough headroom for us to add on anywhere from 8 to 10 stores in the clusters where we exist, which is basically West Bengal and UP. So we've added one store. There are a couple of stores more in the pipeline in Calcutta, and there are a couple of more stores in Lucknow, one in Gorakhpur and one in Lucknow. So, you know, we will add on stores in these clusters, but we'll do it of a certain size, and we'll do it in areas where we can get returns from, you know, pretty much in the first month itself, without having to wait for a long gestation or a payback period. Yeah.
So, sir, what's our CapEx plan for FY26?
Sorry? The plan for?
No. CapEx.
Yeah, so I think CapEx is, for us, the CapEx is around the stores. If we're talking about, say, 8 to 10 stores, which will be roughly about, you know, 100,000 square feet of trading area which will be added. The other part of our CapEx would go, you know, in terms of the online business, where we will look at whatever needs to be spent on having a stable tech stack. You know, we are not doing dark stores, but you know, in large numbers, but we have one dark store in Calcutta. And we will look at the blind spots which we have in the city where we don't, where our store footprint doesn't allow us to service. So we'll probably add one or two more dark stores. So yeah, I mean, I think the CapEx spends are not going to be of a very high order, but they're going to be, you know, commensurate to kind of less than, I would say, 8 to 10 stores and about 100,000 square feet of trading area. Ballpark, that will be between 10 to 12 crores is what we look at in terms of CapEx.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Samarth Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Sorry to interrupt. You are unable to hear.
Hello.
You're not audible, Samarth Gupta. Hello.
Hello.
As there is no response from this current participant, we will move towards the next question. Before we move to the, towards the next question, we would like to remind participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Parishit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First, on Spencer's, can you tell me a little bit about the sales per square foot? In your presentation, you have mentioned that the number is 1523. Is that for the console or Spencer's alone?
At a consolidated level.
I mean, a little bit of a back of the envelope calculation, considering the Q3 top line and the area you mentioned. I do understand with closures and opening new stores, the area is a little different for the overall month. But Spencer's is a little lower on the lower end, obviously, and Nature's Basket should be higher. Can you tell me individual sales per square foot, please?
Yeah, actually, we don't break that out, but I let me give you a thing that look, for quarter one, you know, Spencer's is at around 1450, and Nature's Basket is slightly, but Nature's Basket is not that much higher any longer, and I think that is exactly where we are looking at, you know, driving, you know, efficiencies as far as top line is concerned in Nature's Basket. So, you know, our SPSF has gone up versus last year simply because the stores in north and south were slightly lower productivity and the stores in east continued to be high. We do sell, you know, we have a good mix of liquor in our stores in West Bengal, and that does drive both, you know, I would say the ASPs and the AOVs, but also drives the SPSF. So SPSFs for Spencer's continue to be in the 1500 level, and Nature's Basket is slightly higher, but since the overall weightage for the top line is more skewed towards Spencer's, it ends up at being around closer to 1560.
Understood. Thank you. In terms of operating cost, while there has been a significant improvement since the past past period, can you tell me please how much is the contribution from closures versus the savings initiatives?
In the OPEX you're talking about?
Yes, the operating costs.
Look, I think the way I break that up is that when it comes to the store OPEX is largely a function of the stores which we have closed. Where we have got benefits is because on the back of closing down stores, we also trimmed, a few distribution centers in the regional office which was there. And we did a fairly large, I would say, optimization exercise when it comes to headcounts in the corporate office. So what I would say is like about 65% of the overall costs are in terms of the stores which we have closed, but 35% is also contributed by the support costs, which is all your RO, your distribution centers in those regions that we shut down, and the corporate office. In corporate office, we've done savings, and I would say annualized savings excess of 30 crores. And we've kind of looked at about 100 plus headcounts, which have been optimized over the course of the last 1 year. So roughly it's 65 from direct closures and 35 from other efficiency measures and optimization which we have done.
Got it. On new stores, you mentioned that you added one store in Calcutta which was around 6,000 square feet. However, previously you have mentioned that the sweet spot in terms of the area, retail area, would be around 8,000 to 9,000. So is there any change in that, and how many stores are we ideally expecting to add in this financial year for Spencer's alone?
Yeah. So I think, look, like I said, the sweet spot optimum has to be, you're right, 8,000 to 9,000, and we still maintain that. But having said that, sometimes we don't have, the real estate options available also dictate. And I think what we have to look at it is, with a certain degree of pragmatism in terms of also what are the rentals and what is the expected throughput which is going to come. So we do have a floor that, opening a store, we do have daily formats which are at 3,000 square feet. We don't want to open more of those. But I think a 5,000 plus is 5,500, 5,000 would be the bare minimum which you would require. And again, it all depends on the commercials. Sometimes you get structures which are both, the landlord gives you basement plus ground or ground plus first. So you're forced to open that. We believe that, 8,000 to 9,000 is the sweet spot. Anything above that might not be able to justify the returns in the first 1 year. And anything below 5,000 will probably not give you the returns as well. So anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 is the thing. Sweet spot being 8,000 to 9,000. That's on the size. On Spencer's, we are looking, like I mentioned, that look, we are looking at between 8 to 10 stores, coming in. Yes, the first, there was only one in quarter one, so one would say where is this thing? But there is sites under finalization and even fit out to ensure that we will be able to roll it out. If I were to kind of give you a breakup, we would expect at least 2 to 3 more stores in quarter two, and then I would say another 3 in quarter three, and another 2 to 3 in quarter four. And the clusters where we will be opening these stores would be, of course, Calcutta, Greater Calcutta, looking at few upcountry West Bengal locations, Lucknow, Banaras, Gorakhpur, and maybe one in Allahabad. We already have one store. Yeah, and on Nature's Basket, as of now, this year we're not looking at adding on too many. But if there are some exceptional sites which come, but again, the focus would be on the existing clusters, which is Bombay, Bangalore, as the primary one.
Okay, on Nature's Basket, the top line is 69 crores versus 61 last quarter. However, there have been also store closures. So is this number on, including, for the major part of the quarter, did they include the closed stores also?
No, so we had at the end of the March quarter, there were 32 stores, right? And we had in this 32 store, we had shut down. It was a temporary shutdown because that was being renovated. So it is the way I look at it is that, look, it's 32 stores in that quarter and 31 stores in this. So the growth is not because of, I would say addition of stores or major deletion of stores. This is better throughput which has come through out of existing stores. The area is actually slightly down, as you can see, 6,000 square feet down. So if your question is leading to the fact that, look, is the higher revenue on account of higher SPSF from existing stores? Yes, that's the answer.
Understood. In terms of the online sales, you have mentioned that there is a 19% growth. So
the Spencer's.
Only for Spencer's, right? So in terms of Jiffy, you mentioned that previous quarter the average bill value was around 900, which was still higher than regular quick commerce ABVs. Now it is around 700. Going forward, do we see further correction in this number, or is this more like a steady state value?
No, I think for us it will be around that level. The reason, and you're absolutely right, the reason why it comes down a little bit ABV is because as when you acquire new customers, a lot of these customers and our customer acquisition costs are fairly efficient. We are not, spending 1,000 rupees as far as consumer acquisition costs are concerned. Our CACs are anywhere between 300 and 400. And the reason is because we are being judicious about where we are spending and how we are targeting. And we are also targeting a lot of our offline customer base to come on. Now, what tends to happen is when customers sign up in the first month or so on the first few things, the order value is low. So I think, and maybe next time I'll see if I can provide that number. It'll be interesting to see the AOV split between new users and existing users. The existing users tend to have far higher AOV. So we still have from existing users, we do have, AOVs in excess of 900. But the new users typically come in at a lower AOV because their frequency is also lower and then their average bill value is also lower in the first few months. Once, we have in the customer life cycle, once you get to 4 to 5 orders on the platform, that's when frequency also increases and as a result of it, your AOV also increases. Yeah.
Understood. This is very helpful. In terms of our fleet, are we still focused on having the own managed fleet, or are we also considering having a third-party logistics? Because this question is primarily toward the high costs of running a quick commerce business, and we do understand the challenges on the balance sheet.
We have, when we say we have own managed, it is basically we manage through a combination of retainer plus, people who are offered, incentives during search. But 100% of this fleet, none of this fleet is on our payrolls. So this is not, this is in some senses a 3PL arrangement. But a 3PL arrangement which is, managed through some commitments in terms of, minimum usage, minimum orders, etc. And I think that's the model. You can't, you can't have everything on your, as a fixed cost on your payrolls.
Exactly.
And similarly, you cannot be completely outsourced that you're working with 20 different vendors, because then, our share is small. Then you will be insignificant to all of them and therefore you will not get the desired level of service level. Right? So it is, we are working with 2 to 3 maximum, reliable suppliers, but we manage this by giving and working at a structure which ensures a minimum billing, minimum number of orders, and getting a commitment on a certain minimum number of riders. Once you have surge and spike, then we need to kind of, work on the variables. So that's how we manage our fleet.
This is super helpful. And the same model, I believe, would be applied for the Nature's Basket Express proposition?
Sorry?
I was asking...
Yeah.
The same business model of the fleet will be applied to the Nature's Basket Express proposition that you just mentioned you launched in June?
Yes and no. I think currently the scale is not something which is this thing. And again, the fact is that we did have an existing, arrangement where we had a managed fleet for the out-of-store, the phone delivery which used to happen in Nature's Basket. So, in Nature's Basket, in especially in places like Bombay, people place an order, especially regular customers place an order on the phone, and we had built up a fleet. I would say 30% was our own people and 70% were dedicated outsourced people. And I think that was sufficient to service all the phone delivery orders. Now, as for the time being, the online orders are being serviced through this network because they were not at the peak capacity. Our model has shown that, people can do an average of anywhere between 15 to 18 orders a day, depending on, what is the catchment area and how far is the distribution. Today, utilization in the NB is slightly lower than that. So, I think as the online business scales up, we will use the current one. But once it starts outgrowing that capacity, then we will build in a capacity on the same model as what we have done for Spencer's, which is third party but managed with a few third party vendors and with a certain level of control. Yeah.
Understood. In terms of the overall guidance, can you say that in FY26 you will be able to be operating EBITDA positive overall console level?
We will be looking at an operational EBITDA level break even. That's still the guidance. Yeah.
And that will be for the entire year, not one quarter or two quarters.
Yeah, absolutely. That's for the full year. Knowing that, we've already elapsed one quarter, so we have some cash up to do. Yeah, we still maintain that.
Understood.
And like I said, question, for us, quarter two and quarter three are the quarters where we can catch up and make up.
Understood. And would you be able to give any guidance on the top line growth as well? Or
sorry, you're breaking.
Would you be able to? Is it better now?
Yes, it is better.
I didn't hear after.
Able to give any guidance on the top line growth number?
Look, I think mid single digit growth is what we are looking at from the offline business on both NB and SRL. And online, of course, we are looking at the base is much smaller, so we are looking at how we can have at least close to 50% growth on the online business.
This is super helpful. Just my final question on the balance sheet. Can you please tell me you already articulated the current liabilities exceeding the assets by 815 crores. Can you tell me what are the gross and net debt levels at this time, please?
Sandeep?
Hi, Parikshit. So the debt at console level is 950 crores.
And this is gross.
For the quarter ending June 30th, yeah.
And what would be the net debt?
That's a net debt borrowed.
You said 950 is net, right? Gross or net? Sorry.
Net.
Okay, understood. Thank you for answering all my questions. I will get back in the queue for any further. And good luck for the rest of the quarter.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Aradhana Jain from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. If you could just highlight how has the SSSG been for Nature's Basket? I understand that for Spencer's Retail it has been broadly flat. But for Nature's Basket, how has it been?
So, if you look at it, we said quarter on quarter, we've had a 13% growth. And if you look at it in terms of, there were no major store additions. That's roughly double-digit SSSG versus last quarter. Versus last year, it is almost flat.
And so in terms of your category assortment, could you throw some light that how has the mix been and whether there's been any change in the mix in terms of, say, liquor, meat, or it's too stable? And what sort of assortment changes are we doing to, attract more consumers? And what has been our, right to win in the NBL space specifically compared to the other formats that are there? Are we doing anything to, make sure that the demand keeps growing? And what sort of repeat purchases are we seeing in the NBL space?
Yeah. So I think it's a very good question. And I'll break it up into the mix is very distinct as far as Spencer's concerned and Nature's Basket is concerned. In Spencer's, over the last, I would say 4 or 5 quarters, we have become more focused and targeted at what I would say the food and the FMCG non-food led categories, which means that if you look at, between FMCG, staples, fresh, which is both fresh, F&V, fish and meat, bakery, dairy, this is, roughly about, 65% of our mix is coming from these categories. We believe that this is what we as a retailer stand for. This is where we believe that we have the right to play and right to win. While we do have an apparel assortment, we are not a destination for apparel. People will come and new people will come to our stores driven by the assortment which I mentioned earlier, which is your FMCG staples, fresh, etc. And they're also drivers of regular consumption and footfall. In Spencer's, we have liquor, which is also in West Bengal, a part of our mix. It is, about, I would say, in the region of 18 to 20% mix, depending on the season. So there's a bit of seasonality involved. So clearly, those are the key categories for us. They also allow us to manage and deliver margins. 19% margin with a mix which has around 15% or lower of general merchandise and apparel, I think is a very good delivery of margins. Going forward, our approach on assortment would be to really tighten some of the assortment, and then over the years we stood for a very wide assortment. I think what we need to kind of optimize is the breadth of the assortment, and maybe optimize a little bit of that, but really focus on best sellers, focus on certain classes within these categories which drive very high repeat and loyalty. We want to win in things like staples. If you're in East, you've got to be really standing for the most optimal assortment at the best prices as far as let's say rice is concerned. Similarly on fresh, we do stand for not just a wide assortment, but also good quality. So I think these are the things which we will continue to focus on, along with what we do in let's say FMCG, and that's how we will drive the mix. We've been very good in terms of delivering percentage margins, but like I said, as we switch to a growth kind of a gear, we will have to also take calls on where we make some of the pricing investments. And therefore, for me, the real yardstick would be to deliver a higher level of RGA. Percentage margins are not, you really don't bank the margins, you bank absolute money. So we will look at where there is an opportunity, where there is elasticity, where with the right desired optimal level of price investment, we can drive higher volumes. Category like staples for us, we deliver almost 17%. The grocery peers deliver at an average level. So is there a possibility for us to drive higher level of sales with some price investment? So maybe percentage margins take a little bit of correction, but overall at an RGM level we grow. So that'll be the focus for us, driving top line and driving RGM, even if it means that we will have to do some price investments, and therefore you'll see the percentage gross margin being a bit moderated. That'll be the approach as far as Spencer's is concerned. On Nature's Basket, again, it's a very, it's a mix which is driven by, food. We don't have non-food FMCG,
Spencer's, what sort of discounting do we provide? Like, is there like a day of the week where there's be a lot of discounting, like a Wednesday discount or anything like that for a specific day? Or like, how do we attract more customers to, you know, come to your store per se on a, like, across the days that are there? Like, anything that we're running?
So look, again, we don't want to, we're not an everyday low price or a consistent price. We do, kind of have offers at specific times of the whole month. So typically there is a attractive, whether it is ladder pricing, or it is about combos, or it's about even on certain, monthly buy categories. During the first 10 days buying cycle, we do have promotional offers, which kind of have attractive prices, because that's the period when people do a fair bit of pantry loading. Besides that, we do have on Wednesdays, I wouldn't call it discounting, but we have a special focus on our FNV. So it's called the Wow Wednesday, where we have a fresh, higher assortment of fruits and vegetables. And then on the weekends, we do make sure that we have sharper pricing when it comes to certain categories. So that's how we, manage it. It's not flat discount right through the month. We don't do everyday low pricing. We do have a bit of highs and lows. We are, thinking of continuing with this. We don't see any reason why we should change this. And again, all of this is relevant to Spencer's. I'll come to ND later. Yeah. So have I answered your question?
Yeah.
Okay. So on Nature's Basket, on the mix, like I said, look, we don't sell non-food FMCG, which is things like health and beauty. So really the mix is around FMCG, FNV, fruits and vegetables. It's a much higher constituent of fruits and vegetables, both exotic, imported, and Indian. So roughly, I would say between staples, FNV, fish and meat, and bakery, that's close to 50% of the business is coming from that. And FMCG food part is another 25% odd. And then you have dairy and frozen. So we don't have apparel and, GM in the mix as far as NBL is concerned. In NBL, we have a good assortment of private brands. We have Indian brands, but we also do carry a lot of imported trading lines. That's all part of the whole gourmet proposition which we do.
And any sort of discounting that we provide in the NBL format, or it's broadly full priced?
No, so I think, look, ND is not a format where we do discounting. From time to time, we do have, offers which could be things like, ladder pricing on buying 2 units, etc. But it is not a discounting-led form.
Got it. And in terms of the e-commerce share in NB, that was approximately around 13-15% in FY25, and we had aspired to take it to around 18-20% this year. So how is the mix now?
You talk about Spencer's, not NB. NB was not 20% e-commerce.
E-commerce share.
You're referring to as the Spencer's share, not in NB. Nature's Basket e-commerce. very nascent.
How much would that be?
It's okay. It's very early single digit. There in Nature's Basket, it is more the out of store, which is your phone delivery, which was the highest thing. The app and the online part has just been built, and I think we will see how we build that up.
Okay, so out of the e-commerce share that's coming from Spencer's, have you seen any uptick there from the levels that we were in FY25? Given that e-commerce is...
Like I mentioned in my commentary, if we look at it, we've had almost 20% growth over quarter one of last year as far as the e-commerce part in Spencer's is concerned, driven by new users, higher orders. We've reached a level where we're doing close to, like I mentioned, close to 6,500 orders a day.
Any challenges that we are facing in the Jiffy space? I mean, the express delivery, the Jiffy space. Obviously, there'll be a lot of competitive intensity that you'd be facing from the quick commerce side. But the sort of operational challenges, are there any, given that we've recently gotten into this space, and how are we dealing with those sort of challenges if there are any?
As you rightly said, this is an absolutely, high competitive intensity sector. There are external, challenges, but again, we are kind of dealing with it given what our unique positioning in the market is. We're targeting our offline customers. We're looking at categories which work well for us. From an internal point of view, absolutely. I think operation challenges are at a daily level. Again, it is around obviously fleet management, availability of fleet. We do see spikes which happen for all players at the same point of time. So the last few days in Calcutta it's been pouring, and when it pours, people don't go to the stores. People end up ordering, so you see a high surge. And again, the challenges happen around both sourcing of an availability of fleet, but also to have the capability to deliver it within time. But I would say that these are operational problems, and these are good problems to have. The organization is happy to deal with these problems on a day-to-day basis. If you can get to 10,000 orders a day, and that creates a certain level of internal challenges and kind of intensity, that's a good problem for us to have. And these are also problems which are solvable. Now, some of these problems, of course, end up for us, costing, because then when you have high surge, you have to give incentives to the fleet. You can partially offset it with some surge fees, but we are not a big believer in charging surge fees, etc. I think these are all challenges which come up in day-to-day operation, nothing of the magnitude that which cannot be handled. I think that's how we're building a robust operations team which is able to address all of this. Yeah, because like I mentioned, the capability is for us to do fulfillment from now 50 odd stores, and the capacity is there to service 10,000 orders. You'll always keep having those challenges, but I think they're all addressable. And we are doing that on a daily basis.
Got it. Just last two questions from my end. One, I wanted to understand the store, the mix, region-wise store mix for Spencer's, which is Calcutta, Banaras, Lucknow, UP. What sort of, revenue mix is there? And second question is the margins. Do we expect that the margins that... the improvement that in margins has happened across both Spencer's and Nature's Basket to sustain and to improve from these levels as well? Or would it be sustained at these levels? Just these last two questions. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'll start with the margin question. I think, the margin for me, like I said, is, the idea is not to keep enhancing the margins. I think at 19% margin, it's I would say, if I may dare use the word, best in class as far as grocery retail is concerned. And again, the objective is not to increase percentage margin. The objective is to increase your rupee gross margin, which is a product of your sales and your gross margin. So I'd much rather be in a situation where I'm able to drive sales by, you know, double digit, even with a, you know, 50 basis point moderation in margin, because that would lead to a higher RGM, which will lead to a higher EBITDA. That's the quest. So we will not, you know, either give a guidance or drive expansion of margins. We need to drive expansion of RGM. And this is for both Spencer's as far as, and as well as NBL is concerned. NBL at 28-29% margin is I would say, is an optimal level of margin. We need to drive a higher level of sales. You know, SPSF is what we need to drive. And that will drive your sales. And then, you know, even with a slightly, you know, I would say, moderated level of margins, we will have a much higher RGM. And I think that's the game we're into. On your second question, in terms of what's the split between regions, look, we have for Spencer's, you know, we have, I would say, 65% of our sales, or maybe even 70% of our sales coming from West Bengal, and the balance from East UP. In East UP, we have Lucknow, Banaras, Gorakhpur, and Allahabad as, you know, our clusters. And the store numbers for us is, we have roughly about 55 stores in West Bengal. And then in Lucknow, we have 18. In Banaras, we have 8. Eight in Banaras, 5 in Gorakhpur, and 1 in Allahabad. So that's the split between these two. Yeah. West Bengal has a higher SPSF and higher productivity in stores. You know, we do sell liquor in West Bengal, and we don't have that in UP.
Got it. This was really helpful. Thank you so much. And
Thank you.
The last question for the day comes from the line of R.S. Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking up the question. Sir, a couple of questions from my side. So when you refer to the net debt of 950 odd crores, there has been a 100 crores increase. Can you specify, like, it is responsible towards the store additions as well as what kind of a capex we have, we would be incurring towards the Zippy sites, the expense side on Zippy?
100 crore increase, Mr. Gupta, which quarter you are talking about? Because quarter four of last year also, it was almost same.
Okay. So what kind of a, like, cash expense you will be incurring towards Zippy?
Words specifically on GP.
Right.
Well, look, like I said, our model is we are not setting up dark stores to do the fulfillment. Our fulfillment is happening from our stores. To that extent, the capex spend would be limited. Of course, there will be opex which will be spent in terms of, you know, the tech stack. Our tech stack is built on a, you know, model where there is, it's a SaaS kind of a module. The number of orders go up from, you know, X to 3X, your OPEX will go up. But again, those are all variable costs depending on the scale. Which means that, you know, if you want to drive 50%, you know, top line growth in certain element of the cost, that cost will also go up. Your variable cost in terms of, you know, number of orders going up, which means that the expenses in terms of fulfillment will also go up. At an absolute level, but they'll remain the same. So I think those are the kind of expenses which is there. We are not, you know, like everything else, we're not saying that our e-commerce part of the business will be profitable at a, you know, maybe if you look at contribution margin one, it could be, but if you look at net profit, no, it will not be because there are costs associated with it. We are looking at online being a growth driver for us. And therefore, there will be losses in that part of the business. But we don't expect losses in the offline part of the business. And therefore, the total, you know, cash or fund requirement for the year is to service debt and to kind of have a little bit of losses on the online business. So that is where we're in. CapEx, like I did mention, we will have CapEx, 8 to 10 stores. And I did talk about a number which is closer to, you know, 10 to 12 crores on what the capex would be.
Right. With respect to Zephyr alone, like you mentioned, so what time frame we have, like when we expect to achieve a EBITDA break even in this particular segment, like because we are seeing a good amount of growth in this segment. So any colors which you can provide, like when do we plan to reach out to EBITDA break even in this segment alone?
I think on online, I think EBITDA break even for us, it's about getting to a scale. So I think if you can get to 50-55% growth over last year, you know, that's the number which you need to get to. 10,000 orders a day is what we're looking at. I think the break even happens, you know, on a much higher scale. So just to give you an example, you know, it could probably be at a level where we are doing about 15 to 16,000 orders a day. So I think that's a bit further out. Right now it is about, you know, driving growth, retaining our customers. We want to have omnichannel customers. We want to have the customers who are coming less frequently to our stores, we want them to migrate to our platform because we believe our platform is quite efficient, it's quite user-friendly, it's reliable, and we have consistent delivery. So I would not give a guidance or a time frame for break-even on the online part of the business, since for me, online is about driving the growth. Yeah, but on the offline part of the business, we've already given a guidance, a guideline that, you know, full year 26, FY26, the offline part of the business, the endeavor is to break even at an operational EBITDA.
Right. And like with respect to debt numbers, so what kind of a targeted levels we have, like with respect to this financial year, where we are targeting, and is there any repayment of debt which is there in the near future?
Sir, we are unable to hear you.
Hello. Hello. Am I audible?
Your query was, I think, around the debt level, I guess.
Right. So I was just asking what kind of a repayment plans we have with respect to for debt for this fiscal year.
Just one second.
So around one
ballpark.
Around 140 crore of repayment will be there in this financial year.
Right. So, at the console level, so we'll be looking at somewhere close to 800 odd crores by March 26. Is that understanding correct?
You might have to borrow.
No, definitely, obviously, we'll have to borrow to do that. So, I would say that it will probably remain at the same level. Right.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
So I think, look, I've given my opening commentary. I've answered a lot of the questions. So I think just summarize by saying that, you know, from here on, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, and the rest of the financial year, it's about switching gears from an efficiency-led EBITDA improvement to driving an offline-led EBITDA improvement. And we do have a plan, playbook, as well as a clear levers identified for that, both for the offline part of the business and the online part of the business, in both Spencer's as well as Nature's Basket. With the festive tailwind starting off from the first week of August, we anticipate and we are committed to capitalizing on that and building momentum as far as top line growth is concerned. So that'll be it. Thank you very much for your time and attention, and look forward to talking to you again at the end of the quarter two. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect.